I've got a real honour today because I get to speak in front of my first head teacher. Mrs. Turnham was my head teacher. I still call you that, even though I'm now allowed to call you Eileen. Was my head teacher when I was at Love Lend as a little 5-year-old. So thank you, Eileen. You bring me great joy at seniors. And you really do. It was an absolute joy to see that your daughter had brought you this morning. So thank you. And I'm really praying for you. And it was also great to see you doing exercises upstairs this week. I only peeked in very briefly. So that was awesome. Do you know, as I've been preparing what I'm going to say, there's lots of stuff going on in our lives, isn't there? There are things that I just don't get sometimes. And I think, what is that all about? Or I think, does God still work in that way? And I believe he does, by the way. But I just wanted to say to you, Sarah, we're praying for your family. We love you very much. And I don't embarrass you, but we love you very much. And we love your brother, Marcus, very much. And we're praying for Marcus. Marcus is very poorly. We've been praying for him. And I think he's just going into a hospice so that he can be looked after. We're praying for you, Sarah, and we're praying for Marcus and the family. And I wanted you to know that. So as I share this stuff today, I believe God heals. I believe he can move in power. But sometimes I don't understand why I don't see it where I always want to see it. So I just wanted to say that to you, Sarah. We're praying for you. Can I just say to you, don't all go up to Sarah afterwards all at once. It could be a bit overwhelming. There are people around her supporting her, loving her, and we'll be there with you in the days ahead. Friends, we're going to be looking at Acts 2. So if you want to turn to Acts 2, you might do that on your phones. You might want to do that in the Bible. If you haven't got a Bible, maybe the Connect team could bring them around. We're on page 1093. You'll find Acts there, 1093 in the church Bibles. And we're going to be making our way through Acts 2, verses 1 through to 21. And I've broken it down, so we're going to take little chunks, and hopefully that'll help us as we unpack what God wants to say to us today in and through his word. So page 1093. In verse 1, we read this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They were all together in one place. Friends, the apostles had witnessed Jesus ascending into heaven, and you can read about that in Acts 1, verses 14 to 15. But it says this: they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. Friends, there was unity among the believers. And unity, I believe, creates space for God's power to move. The early church gathered with expectation, obedience, and prayer. They gathered together praying and seeking God for spiritual breakthrough. And do you know what? Spiritual breakthrough often comes in community, not isolation. Here in Acts, there's a reminder that we need to gather and fellowship with one another. Guarding our unity as God's people is so, so important. And I was like, do I need to share this bit today? But then Eric came and spoke to me. So I'm just going to ask, before I move on, that Eric, you would just share. And we haven't spoken, have we, for the last week or so? You haven't seen me? I haven't seen me for ages. So do you want to just come and just share what you felt God say?
So, hello. Morning, everyone. So in that lovely time of worship where there was just open space and people were bringing words and things like that, I was thinking, oh, God, you got a song for me to sing? Because, you know, I like singing songs, right? and it wasn't really a song, but as I looked around, I felt God saying to me, this is before the communion, he said, now is not the time to be divided. Now is not the time to be divided. And then this kind of sense came to me, it was, for those who have bitterness, strife, and envy, do everything in your power to bring reconciliation. We're on the verge of a move of God. And then I felt like God was saying that we need each other.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you sharing and being obedient. Thank you, mate. Thank you so much. It's interesting, as I was preparing, I sensed our first point was there is power in unity. As a Gold Hill family, we must guard our unity. And here are some biblical nudges. In Galatians 5:15, we read this, do not hurt or harm one another. In Galatians 5:26 says, do not be jealous of one another. In Romans 14, verse 13, it says, do not judge one another. In Colossians 3, verse 9, it says, do not lie to one another. And in James 4, 11, it says, do not criticize one another. And James is a great book in the Bible, as you'd expect me to say. And then it says this in James 5, verse 9. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Friends, we need to guard our unity. In Psalm 133, it says this, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Friends, the Holy Spirit came in power in that room. There was unity amongst them. As Jesus' disciples, we should be known for how we love one another. Friends, you may be struggling to forgive someone, maybe a fellow believer, but remember all that Jesus did for you at Calvary. A month or so ago, Sophie came in at about 9:30. Sophie's my daughter, she's on the front row, you're lovely. I like the cap, very nice cap that. Anyway, she came in and said, Dad, I want to watch The Passion of the Christ. I was like, great. So I thought, great, we looked and it was on one of the streaming channels we had and we started watching it and then it was in Aramaic. She said, I don't want to watch it like this. And I'd forgotten that the first bit's like that. So we went and downloaded it on Sky and I paid for it. And it was exactly the same, just to warn you. But she wanted to watch it with me. It's a very short film, at least 2.5 hours, maybe even 3. But do you know what? That was a precious time I had with Sophie. We were so moved by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. It is a horrific film. Don't watch it with little people, please. But it made you realize what Jesus went through to forgive me, to forgive you. And if there's somebody you need to forgive, trust me, Jesus has gone before us. Go and seek forgiveness, ask forgiveness, forgive somebody, because how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Secondly, we continue in verse 2 and 4. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. You might have a little A in brackets. It could also say all languages as the Spirit enabled them. Friends, the Holy Spirit comes in power in these verses. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. God's Spirit comes suddenly, supernaturally, and with power. It's hard to describe it, but one commentator described it like a freight train with the room shaking. And if you've been unfortunate, like me, to be in a hotel in America where we were near a freight line, you'll know what I mean. It's a shaking. You cannot mistake it. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit came and the place was different. There was wind. There was movement. The wind and fire symbolized God's presence and purification. And the Holy Spirit was preparing his people to witness to others. They needed, friends, to have clean hearts. The Holy Spirit coming in this moment is the fulfillment of Jesus' promise in Acts 1 verse 8 and the marking of the birthday of the church. Friends, God's Spirit moves in unexpected, supernatural ways. Are you and I ready and open to receive his presence today? As J. John puts it, the Holy Spirit is wind to move us, fire to prove us, water to cleanse us, the dove to soothe us, oil to heal us, and the Spirit makes broken people whole. Are there areas in your life, in my life, that the Holy Spirit needs to purify and cleanse, just as he did in Acts 2? Here are 8. Maybe unconfessed sin. Maybe unforgiveness or resentment. Maybe idolatry or misplaced priorities. Maybe a lack of trust or faith. Maybe a neglected calling or obedience. The Spirit might be stirring dissatisfaction when you're avoiding something God has asked of us, like a ministry, maybe a relationship mending or a lifestyle change. 6, spiritual apathy or lukewarmness. Maybe just going through the motions without passion or intimacy with God. The Spirit, friends, calls us back to Jesus afresh. Maybe areas needing healing. Maybe relationship issues. Friends, the Spirit teaches us to walk in humility, love, and reconciliation. How many of you here, friends, like a Costa coffee in the morning, or a Starbucks, or any other coffee shop that you tend to go to? Hands up, be honest. Quite a lot of you. At the 8:45, there was less, but I was surprised how many, actually. Friends, we need to receive all that the Holy Spirit has for us. You wouldn't go without your Costa coffee each morning, would you? You wouldn't go without the food on the table, would you? Even if, like me, you went home last night and there was a lovely salmon and some salad. Helen told me on the phone, actually, and I said, oh, great. That's not Saturday night food, is it, really? It probably is if you're a doctor. But fortunately, Sophie said, before I got home, can we have a curry? Yes. So Helen's having the salad for lunch today. But you see, we don't go without food. We don't go without our coffee. Some of you that I meet, you cannot go without your coffee. I see you come in the morning at 9 o'clock, you've got your coffee. But how often do we go without receiving the Holy Spirit in our lives? Friends, we need to be open to all that the Lord wants to do. In Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30, we read this in the Message version. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Friends, the Holy Spirit comes to refresh and bring life. And bring life. I don't know about you. Maybe sometimes your life feels like this bit on the right. Barren, difficult, stuff happening. If you look at that tree, I'd say chop it down on the right. Paul Morris would probably say leave it for a bit longer. But then, fresh friends, the Holy Spirit comes and refreshes and brings life. And brings life. In Romans, we read, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Tozer, a Christian pastor, says this: the Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people. Charles Spurgeon, being pastorally sensitive, says this: without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are ships without wind. We are useless. Hopefully I'm slightly more partially sensitive. But you get the gist. We need the Spirit of God at work in our lives. We carry on in verses 5 to 11. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Let's just pause there for a moment. Friends, for a first century Jew, Pentecost was the 50th day after Passover. It was a big, big festival. Thousands of people gathered from all over. And it was a day when farmers brought the first crops and offered them to God, both as a sign of gratitude and of prayer that all the other crops would be gathered in. So you get the gist, lots going on. It was the perfect moment. Verse 6, when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. Friends, the gospel is for every nation. Pentecost is a global declaration. The gospel is for every tribe and tongue. God breaks down barriers of language, culture, and race. Friends, the church is called to be a Spirit-filled body. People from every nation heard the disciples speak in their own languages. It was a remarkable moment. Here we are reminded that the message of Jesus is for all people. For all people. Fourthly, by the way, there's 7 points if you're writing notes. Fourthly, the mystery and the ridicule. In verses 12 to 13, we read, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. God moving is not always understood and is often misjudged. As Spirit-filled people, we may face ridicule, but this can become a catalyst for witness. And friends, don't be discouraged by mockery. It's often a sign that you're on mission for Jesus. Allow him to use you. Allow him to use you. The Spirit empowers bold witness. In verse 14, we read this: then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Friends, the Spirit empowers bold witness. Peter was once fearful. Remember, he denied Jesus 3 times. And then boldly here he explains the events by referencing scripture. Friends, the Holy Spirit gives courage and clarity for witness, even for the most unlikely or previously fearful, like Peter. The person that Jesus called to build his church on was Peter. We probably wouldn't have given him the job if we'd stuck him down, got him to do some different interviews and got him to fill in some questionnaires and some tick boxes. But here, Jesus gives Peter the mantle to build his church. And in the same way, he says to you, build my church. The Spirit empowers bold witness. The Holy Spirit will enable you to be witnesses wherever he has placed you, whatever space that is, be that school, be that college, be that uni, be that the workplace, be that the care home, the estate agent, the boardroom, the shop, the hospital, your street, your family. May the Holy Spirit give you boldness to speak into the places that he has given you, wisdom to know when, the words to speak, but the boldness, friends, to do it, just as Peter did here in verses 14 to 15. It was also the fulfillment of prophecy. We read in verse 16 through to 20, "No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord." Friends, Peter connects the moment to Scripture. God is fulfilling his word. He quotes Joel the prophet to show that this is God's promised outpouring of the Spirit. God is faithful to his word. What he promised through the prophets, he fulfills in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And friends, finally, we're called to respond. Verse 21, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Pentecost is not just an event. Friends, it's an invitation to you and to me. You could choose to ignore that invitation. You could ignore that letter that's maybe been written to you. Dust it off, maybe, like this letter I received on Friday. As a youth group upstairs, I get the honour to lead them once in a while. And as a youth group, we wrote to King Charles and to Queen Camilla. And I thought it was very rude that they had not responded when we sent off about 15 letters saying, "We're praying for you." But in actual fact, they had. It had been misplaced. It had been put under a load of other books and other stuff on a good friend of mine's desk who happened to be leading worship this morning. And it says this. By the way, Shona said I could say that. But I was so excited. I was like, they wrote. And it was good timing as well, because I really think it fits in. "We're deeply touched by your most kind and thoughtful message following our coronation. We are enormously grateful to everyone who took part in the celebrations and particularly appreciate that you so generously took the time, well, the youth group did, but to write to us on this very special occasion. Charles R., Camilla R., dated the 2nd of the 11th, 23. Friends, I think that's a reminder. It's kind of funny. I was just pleased to have that they'd written, and the youth group will get to see that. But we can do the same with this passage. We can close it and we can forget it. Forget about it. Not meaning to, but life just carries on. Stuff builds up around us. Please. Please, friends, salvation is available to all who call out to Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's read it and proclaim it, not forget about it. Friends, come and receive all that God has for you. Step out and trust him with your all. See what he would do as you say, "Here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord." You may be saying, "I've tried in the past, but nothing happened." Please, can I encourage you to step out and ask for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit? Friends, the enemy does not want you to receive all that God has for you. and he doesn't want the Holy Spirit's power to be filling you. But friends, step out. Francis Chan wrote this: if I was Satan and my ultimate goal was to thwart God's kingdom and purposes, one of my main strategies would be to get churchgoers to ignore the Holy Spirit. Friends, the Holy Spirit is available to you today. Don't miss out. He might give you gifts. He might give you the gift of tongues. He might not. But just be open to what God has for you today. It's an amazing church family that we have. And I believe with all my heart, he wants to do things in and through us. He wants to heal relationships. He wants to do all that stuff. But he wants to use us to reach this village, this area, and this world. In his name, come and receive what he has for you. As the guys come up, and where they're going to lead a response, there's going to be time for ministry. Please, can I encourage you? Just come out and receive what God has for you. The team will simply pray a prayer that will be something like, will you fill Helen afresh with your Holy Spirit? And they'll simply pray and allow God to do the rest. So if you would like to stand with me, I'm actually going to say a prayer as we stand, and you might like to say amen at the end of it. But can I encourage you to respond on this Pentecost Sunday? God wants to use you mightily. Acts 2 is not just something to be read and forgotten about. It's something that can be today, here, and now. Hear these words of this prayer, and you might want to say amen at the end, just as the guys start gently playing and leading us. Father God, I come before you with a humble heart, longing for more of you. I thank you for the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, and I desire to walk in the fullness of your presence. Lord, I ask you now, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Cleanse me from anything that hinders your Spirit from working in me. Renew my mind, purify my heart, and make me a vessel fit for your use. I surrender my will, my thoughts, and my desires to you. Holy Spirit, come and dwell in me. Guide me, teach me, comfort me, and empower me. Produce in me your fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Ignite in me a passion for God's word, a boldness to share the gospel, and a sensitivity to your voice. Let me not walk in my own strength, but in your power. Fill me, fill us afresh each day, and overflow through me into the lives of others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And if you want to, say amen. Amen.